Daf is Daf Lamed Zayin, a few Daf left of the Masechta. So we got to the very top line. The Gemara was going through yesterday's Mishnah about the various Shvusim that we have, Aser both in Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the Gemara says, L'cholzim v'lo miyabim, that you're not allowed to do chalitza or yibam on Yom Tov or Shabbos, v'ha mitzvah kavod. So the question is that the Mishnah had categorized these as a rishus, that a voluntary act. And chalitza and yibam is considered a rishus. The Gemara asks, how could that be considered rishus? There's a mitzvah deraisa, Parsha Kitzeitze, that you have to do mitzvah of yibam and chalitza. How could you call this a rishus? V'ha mitzvah kavod. So Gemara says, Lo tzvicha de'ika gadol. It's a situation where there's a gadol, where there's an older brother, and the mitzvah begadol liyavam. The older brother has the mitzvah, the primary mitzvah to perform yibum. And the people young, the son, the brothers that are younger, have a less of a mitzvah. So we're talking about the other brothers. Let's say the older brother refuses to do the yibum, and the younger brother agrees to do it. So that's called a rishus, at least relative to the gadol. That's the idea. Then the Gemara says, "V'kula time am I? What's the reason why all these things listed in the Mishnah? Why they also? What's the tama davar?" So Gemara answers, "My gzera shema yichtav, because you might write down this iser shema yichtav." If you look at Rashi to explain, Rashi says here, "Shema yichtav psak din ledinim." If you have a din Torah, you're going to write down what the psak is, who's chayiv, who's zakai, v'shtar erushin. We're going to get engaged. You write the shtar, the kedushin, v'shtar chalitza v'chaletzes uksub liyavama. And therefore, because all these have an attachment of some type of ksiva, they answered all these things listed in the Mishnah. Gemara now says further, v'eluhein mishum mitzvah. So before we get to that, actually, so the Shita Mekbetza asks the following interesting question. He says, wait a second. This makes sense why we could call yibum a rishus, because the mitzvah begadol in yibum. When it comes to chalitza, however, there's a machlokas. Do we say that the older, let's say the brothers decide to do chalitza, do we say the mitzvah begadol to do chalitza? Or no, when it comes to chalitza, the all brothers are considered the same level of requirement of the mitzvah. Rabbi Yochanan holds, we don't say mitzvah begadol v'chalitza. All brothers are equal. So then how do you call chalitza rishus? Chalitza should be a mitzvah for all ages of the brothers. So it answers the Shittim HaKabbat, says it must be that when we say mitzvah kavod, we're talking about dafka the yibum, and we just put chalitza there because chalitza and yibum always go together. But this explanation only really works for yibum; it doesn't work for Rabbi Yochanan in his understanding of chalitza. So then the Gemara says further now, then eluhei mishum mitzvah l'makdishin l'marichin l'marcharimim, you can't do a hekdesh, you can't be erchin, you can't do a cherim on yantif, or Shabbos. Why? It's because of gzera, you might come to buy and sell things. If you look at Rashi, it's similar to transferring ownership of something from chol to hekdesh, from chol to erchin, and so on. So the Rashi says further, shemosi mirshuso l'rishus hekdesh. You are removing from your ownership to Kadosh Baruch Hu's ownership. Why is a buying and selling us in general, because the pasuk says in Yeshaya, "Mimso chapsecha v'daber davar," you can't do anything that's your own personal interest. So therefore, mekel memchaz aser miklal, that rubric is a hekdesh and erchin and chayim. Inami, alternatively, another suggestion says Rashi, "Umekach memkar asilide ksivas shtar mechir," might come down to write the receipts and whatever else, the accounting, and therefore mekel memchaz aser because of ksiva. Fine. The Gemara now says back inside, "V'lomak bein with trumos umaisus." You cannot separate trumos and maisus on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Pshita, that's obvious. We already know that din. What's the chiddush in this Mishnah? Tanir of Yosef, lo nitzucha ela litna lekoin bo bayom. It's coming to tell us the hafrasha we know. Hafrasha is aser, but we're telling us don't give it to the kohen that very day, because it looks like you may have done it. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Tanir of Yosef, afilu litnam lekoin bo bayom." De'ikle meimar la muchucha milsa. The tikune tivla mechavin. If you give, there's two steps to afrasha shumas and maisas. One is the afrasha. One is the nesina. So it says the Gemara, don't even give to the kohen. De'ein yadua sheyehu tzarach l'shirayim. So it's not so clear that if, when I give a gift of chuma to the kohen, that I'm doing it to be mafrish my tevel. De'ein, he doesn't know I want to eat the rest leftover. V'roen shemolach chuma l'kohen u'mechzi dekul milsa mishim simchaz yamtiv dekohen tzarach lahu. So it looks like I'm just sending a gift to the kohen. The people watching me have no idea that I separated chumas and maisos. They just see me saying it and sending a gift. It's a nice thing. So maybe that should be permitted to send the chumas and maisos to the kohen. Afil hachi aser, says Rashi. So it's telling us chumas and maisos, we know how fresh is aser. But even the nesin is aser because of maris ayin. Gemara now qualifies this halacha and says, honey, mili, this is all only true. Peri, the tfili me esmo. Only when fruit that were tevel yesterday. And then, in other words, the din is that since I could have done it yesterday, that it asked me from doing it today. Aval, however, when it comes to period of tefillah ha'idna, if it's something that became tevel today on Yantif, could go in Isa. If I'm kneading dough, and now there's a chiv of challah that was only created, generated on Yantif itself, then lafushi minei challah mifarshinu levihavnu lekoin. That I actually can separate, and I actually can give to the kohen, because that wasn't from yesterday, that was a new generated chiv today, and that would be allowed on Yantif itself. Fine. Gemara now says, if you remember the Mishnah is a bit tricky, that the Mishnah had said there's certain things that are shvus, certain things that are reshus, and certain things that are mitzvah. Now it sounded like that which was a reshus was not a shvus, and that which was a mitzvah was not a shvus. But it doesn't make sense, because we said the underlying point of all of them, they were all shvusim, they're just a reshus that had a shvus, and a mitzvah that had a shvus. So Gemara just says the language doesn't seem so precise in the Mishnah. V'hani mishum reshus ika, mishum shvus leka. These things were only categorized as reshuyos, but they were not shvus. Meaning yibum was only reshus, but there's no shvus involved. V'hani mishum mitzvah ika, mishum shvus leka. And all those that were listed as mitzvahs did not have a problem with shvus. Of course they had a shvus. That was the whole point of the Mishnah. So Gemara just tweaks the language and says, Amar Reb Yitzchak, lo mi bai kamar. It's a needless to say type of statement. In other words, lo mi bai shvus greida da aser, greida da aser. Don't tell me that which is only a shvus is aser, meaning riding an animal is only a shvus, so that's certainly aser. Ela filu shvus to reshus, nami aser. Even that which is a reshus, which means it's a shtickle mitzvah. A yibum chalitza, which we said is a ktas mitzvah, even that has a little bit of mitzvah, it's still aser because of the shvus shibo. And velomi boy shvus to reshus, not only a shvus of a reshus is aser, but ela filu shvus to mitzvah, even that which is a mitzvah gadola, if there's a shvus attached to it, nami aser, that's what the Mishnah is telling us. But of course, the whole underlying point of the Mishnah is, these are all examples of shvusim. So then the Gemara says, the last line of the Mishnah taught us, kol elu b'yamtiv amru, all those which we said was regarding yamtiv, they're aser, are also all those same shvusim are aser on Shabbos as well. And the only difference was, heter ochel nefesh. So Gemara said, is that the only heter? The only difference between Shabbos and yamtiv is heter ochel nefesh? Where minu, we had just the other day, was it yesterday and 2 days ago, we discussed, Mashilin derech aruba b'yamtiv, avalo b'Shabbos. If I have fruit on my rooftop, I can lower them into my house only on yamtiv, but I can't lower them on Shabbos. So isn't that yet another difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? So Gemara says, no problem here at all. Amar Rav Yosef, lo kashya. Har Rabbi Eliezer, har Rabbi Yeshua, this is a machlokas tonight. About hefsid mamon, what does that mean? The Tani, the Braisa quotes, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Osu es beno, shenaflu labor. Let's say you have a mother and a calf, a cow and a calf that fell to the boar. We know there's a din, you can't shecht and osu es beno on the same day. There's an iser deraisa to do so. So how do you get both animals up? It's us, it's muksa. The only heter to bring them up in Yantif is to shech them. But I can't shech both of them. So what's the etza? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, malas arishon al menash l'shochto. V'shochto, you could raise one of the animals up to shech it, and shech it in Yantif, that's allowed. But the other one, once you shech the mommy, you can't shech the calf. Hasheni osel parnas bimkomo kedesh l'yamas. You must leave the calf in the boar and let it sit there and just feed it and stay with it till Shabbat, till Yom Tov is over. But you can't bring it up because you already shecht to the top one. Rabbi Shua Omer, Ma'ale es harishon al menash l'shochto v'ein l'shochto. You could bring up one of them with the intent of shechting. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to shecht this one. I want to shecht the other one instead. V'chozer marim, you could do haram in this case. Ma'ale hasheni, ratza zeshachin, ratza zeshachin. You could bring both up with intent of shechting this one and then changing your mind, shechting that one. That's harama, that's allowed. And then decide which one you want to shecht afterwards. That would all be allowed. So if you look at Rashi to how this plug in now. So it says Rashi, last three lines of the last three narrow lines. Har Rebbe Eliezer, Seifa, Dikatani, Ein Bein Yomtiv L'Shabbos. There's no difference. Dechol Shavus, Degazvel Shabbos. Gazvel Yomtiv, they're completely equated. V'afilu b'hefsin mamun, Rebbe Eliezer, he even hefsin mamun, you're not allowed. Meaning he would not allow the din of Mashilin Peros b'Yomtiv. That would be us on Shabbos and Yomtiv. So he's the author of our Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav here at Lamed Vav Mabez. But Shiloh Hitir Lahalos also says, but no, Mipni Hefsin Mamun. He does not have a heter, Hefsin Mamun and Yomtiv. So too, he does not have the heter of Mashilin Peros. He says Shabbos and Yomtiv are completely equal, other than heter Ochel Nefesh. Reisha, the earlier Mishnah from the other day, the beginning of the Perek of Mashilin Peros and Yomtiv, you can't lower the fruit on Yomtiv because Hefsin Mamun, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, who does have a Kula of Hefsin Mamun and Yomtiv by also says, but no, he also has a heter of Hefsin Mamun of Mashilin Peros and Yomtiv, but not by Shabbos. So that's the difference between the two Mishnayos One mishnah is by Rabbi Yeshua, one mishnah is by Rabbi Eliezer. So Gemara now says, Amar Le Abaye, five wide lines down. Amar Le Abaye says, Mimai, how do you know? Dilma adkan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer hasam ela def shepanasim. Maybe only there does Rabbi Eliezer say you must leave the second cow inside the pit because there's another way to keep it alive by feeding it. That's allowed. Aval hachdilo ef shepanasim lo, but maybe by the case of Mashim Peros, where there's no other eitzah other than to lower them down, maybe he would allow you to lower the fruit even on Yomtif, because there's no other possibility. Or inami, alternatively, adkan lo kama Rabbi Yeshua hasam el efshel arume. Maybe the only heter Rabbi Yeshua allows of hefse mamon is by Oses Beno, because harama is a very good avenue to take. That's a possibility. Harama is not as so bad. V'hacha here, del efshel arume lo, but here, but maybe by the case of Mashim Peros, there's no harama. He just says, drop the fruit down, because of tircha. It's not harama. It's worse than harama. Maybe there, Rabbi Yeshua would actually not allow to lower the fruit on Yantif. So the halachas are not equated, really, between Mashim Peros and the halachas of Oses Beno. So that's not going to be a satisfactory answer. The way to reconcile between these two Mishnayos here, Maseches Beitz and the fifth parak, is not between Rabbi Eliezer and Bishua, because that wasn't really convincing. Rather, it was between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. In other words, the time we have a Mishnah, Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Motin Losa Kadam Losa Lula Velosa Sefer Torah the Rishis Rabbim on Yantif. Beis Shammai says you cannot carry anything outside at all on Yantif. Beis Hillel Matirin, he says you're allowed to do so. So what's that equation? How does that fit in? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes four wide lines down. Ein motin is a katan, dulo hutra hotza shlo tzorach. The heter of hotza on Yantif is only the tzorach ochal nefesh. Rabbi Shammai does not hold the hutra l'tzorach, hutra nami shlo l'tzorach. He does not hold to that. So therefore, carrying a child, carrying a sefer Torah, a lulav, doesn't work for Rabbi Shammai. The gabi tilto shlo l'tzorach nami gazunan, afilu gabi hefsi mamun. Even if there's going to be a loss of money, Beis Shammai answered it. So he's the author of the Mishnah about the Shvusim, that Beis Shabbos and Yantif are equal, legabe all halachas, even legabe hefzid mamun. But Beis Hillel, who says you can move items if there's a tzarech, and hefzid mamun is a tzarech, he would be the author of the Mishnah of Mashim Peros, of the heter of hefzid mamun on Yantif. So that's the Gemara's initial suggestion. And the Gemara says, maybe that's not true. Dilma, lohi, maybe that's not the case. Adkan lo kamer Beis Shammai hasam el hotza. Maybe the only reason why Beis Shammai assered the carrying on Yantif is because Hotzah is a malacha. But Mashiach Peros, there's no malacha, it's an issue of Tircha. It's a much lower issue than Hotzah. So Beis Shammai is machmir by Hotzah, you can't carry outside if it's Hefzid Mamon, even for Hefzid Mamon, but maybe lowering fruit, which is only Tircha, maybe he would allow. But Muksa, moving items wouldn't be a problem. It's very different than Muksa, than Hotzah, rather. And Gemara says a very important klal here. So Gemara says, Atu Tiltal, Lav l'tzorach hotzahu, moving muksa is not because of hotzah. The two halachas are very much attached. Look how Rashi says this. Rashi says, the five wide lines down here, atu tiltu lav l'tzorach hotzahu, tchilas hotzah are tiltu. If I'm carrying something outside, I'm in my house, the whole hotzah process starts by me lifting something up. That's tiltu, that's moving. V'chol ma shegazu ein ela mishum hotzah. The whole gzera of muksa, of tiltu, is predicated on hotzah. So then you shouldn't be able to move anything. Because just like I might carry my phone outside, I might carry the paper outside, I could also carry food outside. So maybe you shouldn't pick up anything. You'd have to eat like that or something with your mouth, like bobbing apples. But using your hands, and nothing should be allowed. So the Rashi has to explain, the reason why you could pick up kalim and food is, people couldn't withstand such a thing. If they told us that you can't pick food up, you have to pick up, bite it with your feet, hands like that, and teeth, no one would be able to handle that. It would take away only Yom Tov and Shabbos and everything like that. Therefore, they allowed carrying. But the whole basis of a muksa was to prevent hotzah from happening, so they're all intertwined. And therefore, just like Beis Shammai says you can't carry on Yom Tov, so you can't move the peros. Metalton peros is also usher because of hotzah. That's a bit tricky because peros is for eating purposes. That's ochel. And we have a klal that ochel can never become muksa, so it's not 100% klal. I don't know how to answer that question, but either way, this is the klal the Gemara says that muksa is based in hotzah. Now the Ravid actually uses this Gemara to ask the question on the Rambam. The Rambam talks about muksa, says, you know why muksa is a problem? Because it's too weak late day, like we have to have a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. He says it has to be people who don't work all week, if they're sitting around, they have no job, so what makes Shabbos different than Yom Tov? So he gives three different reasons why muksa is asur in Shabbos. He does not say because of muksa, though. So the rabbi says, how could you ignore muksa? The Gemara here clearly says it's based on muksa, mahotza rather, hotza. Why not? So one pshat could be, this only goes according to Beis Shammai. But the other pshat that they explain here is, the Kesef Mishnah says, if you look in the Gemara's and Shabbos, there are different times of how muksa was created. There are different generations, different tkufas. So he says, initially muksa was based on hotza, that's the Gemara and Beitza. But later on, when they added on more levels of muksa, more heterim, more chumras, that was based on the other reasons the Rambam gives. So he's not so sure this Gemara. He's not rejecting the Gemara. He's just giving additional reasons of why the Gemara had different later changes to lachas of muksa. Okay, let's go by it now. The Mishnah says here in the bottom of Daf Lamed Zayin, the Mishnah says, Habehema v'akelim kiragle habailim. Whoever owns an animal, or whatever kelim I own, the allowance of tchum could go only as far as I, the owner, could go. It can't go beyond what I could do. So Gemara says, "Hamosa behemaso livno olu roe hare elu kiragle habailim." If I give my dog to my son, or I give my sheep to a shepherd, they could only go as far as I could go. It does not go based on my son or the roe or the shepherd. It go based on me. Even when you give it to the roeh, the bailim, his ability to walk, it's how far you can take the animals. We'll see there's a question on that in the Gemara on Mabez. Kelim hamyuchadim le'echem mina'achim, shibabais. Let's say there's one bunch of kids living in a house, and Reuven has his, his toy. So it's his, he has a name on it. So hare elu kiraglav. So even though it's in the house, it becomes his. It's his personal toy, and it only goes so far as he could go. Ushem Yuchadim, let's say it's a toy that's for everybody. It's not Reuven's. It's Reuven's and Shimon's and Levi's. The whole, it's a family toy. So then the halacha is Haren Elu Kimakum Shehulchen, wherever they all go. In other words, it has to be the same place where all Reuven, Shimon, and Levi could go. We'll see examples. Let's say Reuven made a tchum to that direction and Shimon to that direction. It can only go where they overlap with each other. It can't go where only Reuven could go or where only Levi could go. It can only go where, what do they call those circles called? Concentric circles, I think they're called, right? The overlapping, the circles, and wherever they overlap, that's where it could go when it's very limited. Then the Mishnah says further, Hashoel kli mechaver, if you're borrowing a utensil from a friend, me'erev yomtif, kiragli hashoel. If I borrowed erev yomtif, so then I, as the shoel, the kalim could go wherever I could go. Because the moment which this is decided, where tchum is decided of kalim, is who owns it or who has possession of it during Bein HaShemashos. If, however, Hashol b'yomtif, then it goes kiragli hamashil. If I borrowed it on yomtif itself, so since I was not borrowing it from before yomtif, so it has to go based on the mashil, the owner, the one who lent it out to me, because he was the owner of it during Bein HaShemashos. V'chein ha'isha, so to a woman, sheshalom mechaverto tavlin, if a woman borrows some spices, or a mayim, or water, or melach, lisaso, for her dough, for making her cake, or her challah, hare elu kiragli shem, it's like both of theirs. Why? Because if I'm making my dough, I own the flour. So flour goes based on where I am. But then I have to borrow from my neighbor some spices on Yontif. So I put the spices and water in. So now my dough has some of my food and some of their food. So the dough could only be moved to a place where both me and my friend could go, because now it has a combination of being owned by both of us. Then Rabbi Huda poter b'mayim mipnei she'ein b'mamash. She says, no, if I'm only borrowing water, water has no mamashes to it. Water is a nothing. It's worthless. It has no value to it. And therefore, even though I may have borrowed water from my friend on Yantiv, that's not going to put a restriction on the dough itself. Other items, tavlin and whatnot, will, but not water. We'll see the Gemara why that is. So now the Gemara says, after finishing the Mishnah, Masnisen, going on to Amud Beis now, our Mishnah is the low, is not in accordance with Rabbi Dosa. Dasani, the Braisa, says that Rabbi Dosa, Omer, V'amrila, others say, Abashol, Omer, that Halokeach Behema, Mechavero, me'erev yomtif. If I buy, I purchase an animal from my friend erev yomtif, afa pishlo masalo el yomtif, even though he actually handed over the acquisition to me on yomtif, but the acquisition was really finalized erev yomtif, harehu kiragli elokech, it's considered mine. I gave the money in, the purchase was final erev yomtif, fine, even though I didn't have it physically in my hand. Hamoser, which is what the question is, hamoser behema leroe. If I give my sheep over to the shepherd, afa pishlo masalo, even though I did not give it over to him ela b'yomtiv, only on yomtiv itself, harehu kiragle haroe, it goes based on the shepherd's walking distance, not based on the owner. Our mission just said on Amud Aleph, if I give it to the roe, the din is it goes based on the owner's tchum. Here the Braisa says it goes based on the roe's tchum. So clearly our mission is not like Rabbi Dosa. And the Gemara answers no. Afilu tamer Rabbi Dosa. You could say Rabbi Dosa actually did author our Mishnah, and there's no contradiction. V'lo kasha kan beroa echad Kan Bishnei Roim. One case is where there's one shepherd that everyone uses the same exact shepherd and you know where your sheep's going, even Erev Yom Tov. That's where he said it goes based on the Roim. But the Mishnah was talking about where there are two shepherds and multiple shepherds. So we don't know if I'm giving it to Reuven the shepherd or to Shimon the shepherd or to Levi the shepherd. And therefore, since it was unknown Erev Yom Tov, only on Yom Tov itself, it goes based on the owner's tchum, not based on the roe's tchum. Just look at Rashi in the top here. Says Rashi, Kan b'roe echad, Shein b'ir ela roe echad. There's only one shepherd that watches over all the sheep in the city. Kol b'nei ha'ir ma'amidin behemtam b'rshuso, v'niknes shvisaso. They all give it to that one shepherd every single week. Hilkach bein mocher bein lokeach daita shol tikna behema shvisasa etzol ela b'shvisa roe. Everybody, their intent is to give it to that same roe. Umasnis in our Mishnah, however, is Bishnei Roim. There are two different shepherds or multiple shepherds. They don't know who they're going to give it to, and therefore, by the Mishnah, it goes based on the owner, but based on the Brice or Bedosa, it goes based on the Roim. Gemara says there's a Dik as well, because Dekanami is very precise in the Mishnah. Tikatani Livno o Leroe Shmamina. It doesn't say Leharoe to the singular shepherd. It says to a roe, to some shepherd, which means that there are multiple shepherds in the Mishnah, Mishnah's case. So Amar Abba, Bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Dosa. We pass like Rabbi Dosa. Gemara says, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does it really say we pass like Rabbi Dosa? V'hamar Rabbi Yochanan, don't we have a klal? Halacha Kistam Mishnah. V'tzan Arstam Mishnah says, Habeim of a Kalim, Kiraglei Habailim. So how does Rabbi Yochanan himself say we pass like Rabbi Dosa against our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah? And the Gemara says, V'lavo Kimna, Kan B'roa Echad, Kan B'shnei Rom. Didn't we already establish there's no contradiction? Rabbi Dosa does not argue in the Mishnah. The Mishnah does not argue Rabbi Dosa. They're two different cases. And they're both true. We pass like the Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, which is a case of Shnei Rom. And we also pass like Rabbi Dosa in the case of Roa Echad. And there's everything works out nicely. Says the Gemara further now, Tanya Rabban the Baisa teaches us that Shnaim Sheshalu Chalak Echad, Beshutvis, two people, Reuven and Shimon, decide to borrow a shirt. They have a partnership in a shirt. Zeh Leilich Bo Shachris Lebeis HaMedrash. This guy says, I'll wear the shirt in the morning to the base medrash. And Deli Kanes Bar Arvis Lebeis HaMisha. And you get to wear the shirt nights to go partying. Zeh Ariv Alav Letzafon. This guy makes an Ariv to go to the north. Zeh Ariv Alav Ladarim. This guy makes an Ariv to go to the south. Zeh Shariv Alav Letzafon. The guy who makes an Ariv to the north, Malach Letzafon, could only go as north as Kiragle Misha Ariv Alav Ladarim. Now, if you remember, just go through the halachas for a moment. When a Stam Shabbos, I have a tchum of 2,000 amos in any direction. Now, if I wanted, I could make a tchum and use all, meaning in other words, where I am, I got 2,000 to the right, 2,000 to the left, which means 4,000 amos. If I wanted, I could change all my 4,000 amos to go in one direction, to the north. Or I could split it. I could say, you know what, I'm going to go 3,000 to the north and 1,000 to the south. So now the lach is, let's say I go 3,000 to the north and 1,000 to the south. And now my partner wants to go 3,000 to the south and 1,000 to the north. I'm locked in to only going 1,000 to the north now because I'm attached to what he's able to do. So wherever those overlap, only the overlapping areas are you allowed to go that far. So again, Zesh Arav Letzafon, he who makes the Erev to the north, even though he wants to go 3,000 amos to the north, he can only be Mahalik Letzafon, Kiragle Misharav Alav Ladarm. He can only go as far north as the guy making the Erev to the south could go. And in my case here, the guy who made the Erev to the south is only allowed to go 1,000 amos to the north. And same thing, Vizesh Arv Alav Ladarm, the guy who made the Tchum to the south, 3,000 Amos, Mahalich Ladarm, he can only go to the south so long, so far as Kiragli Misha Arv Alav Ladarm. He's limited to however south the northern guy could go, which is 1,000 Amos in our case. Vim Matzo, if they go to the greatest extent as a Tchum, which means that the northern guy goes 4,000, he goes the full extent. He wants to go 4,000 Amos to the north. And the south guy wants to go 4,000 Amos to the south. There's no overlapping area. They went the extreme. In this case, the object cannot move at all because it's stuck. It can't go either way because there's no overlapping areas. They both went to the extreme, both in the north and south, respectively. The Gemara now says a similar case. Itmar. Shnaim shelakhu chavis ubehema b'shutvis. Let's say a person, partners rather, they buy a chavis of wine, let's say. They have a barrel of wine. They buy in partnership. And they buy an animal b'shutvis as well. So what would the halacha be? So Rav Amar, Chavis Mutaris, the mutter, to take whatever you want. I'll take my part of the wine and take it out. And I'll go north, wherever my tchum goes, even though it's not where you go. You can split it up. However, behema asur, the animal, you cannot, because you can't divide animal up. So by wine, I can take a cup of wine and go with my tchum. But a behema, you can't just slice the leg off and go north with it. So Rav Amar, Chavis Mutaris, u behema asur. We'll explain in the Gemara what's going on here. Shmuel Amar, Chavis Nami Asur. He says, not true. Even the Chavis is Asur. You can't split the Chavis and take your part to go to your Tchum. So what's going on here? My Kasavar Rav. What's Rav's understanding? E Kasavar Yesh Breira. If he holds a Breira, which means even though Erev Yom Tov, we decided the Shutvis, we did not decide which is mine, which is yours. But there's Yesh Breira, which means on Yom Tov, when I decide what I want, that's Breira, the Mafreya yesterday. This is what I wanted. So it was all mine, and that was all yours. So that if there really is Breira, so then, E Kasavar Yesh Breira, I feel Behema Tishri, even the animal then. We should say, on Yom Tov itself, when I shecht it, I'll take the legs that I want, and that's Breira, that it was already mine from yesterday. So either both cases should be Asr, both cases should be Mutter. Because the E Kasavar Ein Breira, if he holds it, is no Breira, which means if I didn't decide yesterday, I can't decide today, then I feel Chavis Nami Asura. Then even the pitcher of wine, the barrel of wine, I shouldn't be able to take any part of it. So either if there's Breira, it should be Mutter, both the Chavis and the Bema. And if there's no Breira, both should be Asur. So the Om in reality, Kasavar Yesh Breira, really there is Breira, which means when I decide Yantif, when I want part of the Chavis, with Breira that I always wanted that from Erev Yantif, and therefore that was mine, not his, I could go my Tchum, not his Tchum. But shani or shiny behema, but animal is different. To koyonke tchumim mahadade. Since the animal is attached to each other, the different parts are being yonik from each other, Breira is not strong enough to separate that attachment. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains here, last two narrow lines here, he says, li'olam kesavar yesh Breira, there is Breira. Hilkach chavis mutaris, and that's why I can divide the chavis up on yantif and say that's what I always had from the beginning. But shiny behema, shaisa b'chaim bin ashmashos. When Yom Tov had begun, the animal was alive. V'chol evareha b'chayeha yonkim zemizeh. All the limbs, all the organs are attached to each other. They're nursing off each other. U'mishachashecha, when the sun set, yonik kol evar v'evar mishachaver. They're all attached and they're all nourishing off each other. Vein kan livor, you can't decide, you can't separate it. Meaning when Shabbos had begun, or Yom Tov begun, I could have split the Chavis up. I could, if I wanted, take this part of the wine, you take that part of the wine. When Shabbos had begun by the behema, I could not have split the animal up. The animal was alive. I couldn't divide it at that moment. It was all, I need to shecht it first. And therefore, since it's so attached to each other, you cannot apply the din of Breira to a case of a behema. Gemara then says, now wait a second. So Amri le Rav Kana, Rav Asi, the Rav. So the Isser Muksa, lo chashashu, l'Isser Tchumim chashashu. So your whole concern here is only one of Tchum. But isn't there another factor here of Muksa? I mean, the behema is also a muksa factor. Look at Rashi. It says Rashi two lines down here that the iser muksa lo chashashu onan sadi the chochai minayu akse daitu michel ko shechaver. I know that I only want my part. I don't want your part. So your part to me is muksa. So that being the case, v'mahayu rotin la achla kan eno asura alem mishu muksa lomar kol chelik yanek michaver v'yesh kan muksa. So I know I want to eat my part, and my part is a muksa, and your part won't affect me. So wait a second. We're saying here that the two parts of the animal are attached to each other. Now, why don't we say, your part is certainly muksa to me. That's it, A and B. My part's A, your part is B. B is muksa to me because I'm not eating your part. That's B. We don't say the B muksa is going to answer my A muksa. So if muksa, which is much more, which is stronger than tchumim, so if muksa B won't affect my A, so how could tchum B affect my A? I agree, they're attached to each other. Kol Evareha are all yonik from each other, but if the muksa B is not going to affect my A, the tchum B shouldn't affect my A either. So you're only concerned of tchum, you're not concerned of muksa here? If you're not concerned of muksa, you shouldn't be concerned of tchum either. So he doesn't like that pshat here. So the Gemara says, Shasuk Rav Asai, he didn't know what to say. He didn't have a response. It was a good shayla. So my havale, what was the bottom line? Rav Hoshaya Amar Yesh Breira, Rav Yochan Amar Ein Breira. The din is that across the board, Rav Hoshaya says there's Breira, which means there's no difference. There's Breira, you could take the Chavis and you could take the Behemer, they're both Mutter, against Rav, they're both Mutter, because he holds a Breira. Rav Yochan does not hold a Breira, and he says they're both Aser, you can't take the Chavis, nor can you take from the Behemer, because there is no Breira. That's the din. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. The Savar Rav Hoshaya Yesh Breira. Rav Hoshaya holds a Breira in general. But Hatzan, the Mishnah tells us, Maseches, I think this is Olos or so, says, Hameis Mabayis, if there's a dead person in the house, Philo Psachim Harbi, there are many exits, many doorways, many windows. Kulam Tmem, they're all considered Tamei, because potentially the Mace could exit any of those Psachim. Niftach Echamem, if one of them is open, then Hu Tamei, only that exit is going to be Tamei, the Kulam Torim, and the rest will be Torim, because we assume the door that's open, that's going to be the most natural place for the mace to leave. So he goes through that exit, but all the other doorways are considered safe. Let's say, if he had thought he has a particular exit he wants to leave, or there's one window he wants to pass the mace through, that's matzels al psachim kul. That saves him. In other words, not only if one is open will it save the other doorways, but even the machshav alone is enough that which door I want to take it through will save all the other psachim. Says Beishame, Omen, Vushechishav alav ad shlo yamos hameis. The machshava only works for Beishame if he had the machshava prior to the death. But if the mace happened and then he thought about which door he wanted to go through, that's already too late. Comes along Beis Hillel, Omrim, Af Mishiyamos Hameis, even after the person died, the Machshava will still work after the fact. It was said on this, that Amr Reb Shaya, Letar Sapsachim Mikan Laba. Reb Shaya says, wait a second. Although Beis Hillel says you can have the Machshava after the fact, after the death, that only works to protect them moving forward in the Mafrealo, but retroactively it will not undo the tumma that took place through the Psachim. So clearly Rabbi Shaya does not hold of Reira. Just like he does not hold the Breira here by the Tumma's mace, he does not hold the Breira by the case of Tchum either. So we're going to find Epoch Rabbi Shaya, Amr Ein Breira, Yochan Amr Yesh Breira. Let's switch them around. Rabbi Shai does not hold the Breira, and he thinks both the Chavis and Behema are Aser, and if Yochanan does hold the Breira, he holds both the Chavis and Behema are actually Mutter. We'll stop here because this next piece goes deep into the next daf, and tomorrow's daf is very short, so we have time tomorrow. Let's quickly recap what we did. Those who have time, feel free to go if you need to. We went through Yibum Chalitza, why it's called a Rishus isn't a mitzvah. We said, no, it's only mitzvah begadol, but the other ones don't have as much of a mitzvah. We discussed why is it also to do Hekdesh, Erchen, and Haramim on Shabbos Yantah because Gzeir Mishimekah Chumemkar. And then we said, Hafrash Shumat HaMaisis, we already know is Aser. The Chiddushir is even the Nesina, even giving the gift to the Kohen would be Aser as well. And then we discussed that Reb Elazar, Reb Yoshua, whether or not, although Shabbos and Yom Tov are equal to Gabi Evi Halacha, is there a distinction, is there a heter of Hefs and Momun concerned of Yom Tov versus Shabbos? So first we said we wanted to pin that to Reb Yeshua, Reb Elazar, by the Oses Beno case, whether you could do Harama by Oses Beno or not. And then we try pinning it to Beis Hillel Beis Shammai about Hotzah, Lelulav, and Sefer Torah Yontif, where Beis Shammai says you can't, even Hefsid Mammon purposes. Beis Hillel says you can take them out for Hefsid Mammon purposes. He'd be the author to allow for the Heter of Mashim Peres and Yontif as well because of Hefsid Mammon. Then we discuss the Mishnah about Behema and Kalim and the Roah, that follows the owner. Wherever the owner could go, that's where the Behema and Kalim could go as well. If they're partners, it goes based on where both partners could go. We tried distinguishing between him and Rabbi Dosa. Rabbi Dosa says it goes based on the Roeh, not the Baal. And the Gemara says, no, there's no contradiction. If there's one Roeh, everybody knows who he's giving it to. The animal goes based on the Roeh. If there are multiple Roim, then it goes based on the owner. That was our mission on an Aleph. We discussed then if there's a Chalak that was owned by partners, it can only go the areas where both of them are allowed to go. And then we discussed finally about the Chavis and Behema, that Beshutvis, Rav distinguished between the Behema versus Chavis, and Shmuel says they're both Usser. We thought maybe they're based in Breira, and Rabbi Shaya. Rabbi Shaya does not hold the Breira, and we'll come back to this Mirtashem tomorrow. We'll finish this, the rest of the Sugya. Everyone have a good Nechodesh.